It's a good question. Question is about changing the names. Were they names proper that the people were known by? Were they more, I don't know, some kind of description of the person? Could be kind of both. I do think of Simon Peter. You know, Jesus said, "You are Peter, Kepha, you are the rock," which was never used as a personal name before. It was very much a nickname. I tell my kids all the time, Peter's name is Simon, the rock, and then son of John, which can also be translated Johnson. So he's Peter the Rock Johnson, just like Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I don't know if that's an accident or not, but they're also real names. Like Moses is known by Moses, and Moses' name might actually not originally have been Moses. I love this stuff, I'll show you. Moses' name resembles a Egyptian suffix, Mises, which means son of. So we know at least one of these guys, his name was Ramesses. He was the Pharaoh, he was the son of Ra. So it's very possible Moses' name could have actually been something like, my only contribution to think of is like Happy Moses, not because he's happy, but Happy was one of the gods of the Nile. So maybe the Pharaoh actually named him, you know, son of the Nile, because she pulled him out of it. And it's only afterwards that God calls Moses, Moses. He kind of destroys the false god and kind of leaves him with a new name, which then it happens in Hebrew means sort of deliverer, the one who pulls out. So again, even Moses was almost renamed. And I think we can see that they were actually known by these names. Abraham became known by these names. Peter actually went by Peter, or the fisherman, or the rock. He went by it. So I think God really did, or people really did use these names. They're not just symbolic, even though there's plenty of symbolism behind them. Okay, question man. Yes, like you've been called. Yes. So is the Trinity based on the scripture or is it more the church afterwards? And of course, there's that line Jesus gives to his apostles that you do not understand everything now, but when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will instruct you into all truth. So we do acknowledge a sort of development of doctrine that Jesus gave the church, equipped the church with the ability to draw out truth, and yet it still has to be rooted in scripture. So from the beginning, the Trinity is present everywhere. When he creates man, he says, "Let us make man in our own image." Now, that could just be kind of a royal we, use of royal we, like if Queen Elizabeth said, "We, England, say," you know, God rest her soul, right? It could also be sort of the heavenly court of angels. But again, he's speaking in plural, even though there's one Lord. So there's this idea of the one in three. There's plenty of other areas. Abraham is visited by three guests who he calls sir. He calls all three of them sir, not sirs, not lords. He calls them Lord. So somehow there's a one in three thing going on there. Throughout the wisdom literature, there's the idea of the Spirit of God who was with God in the beginning, you know, through whom all things were made. So there's, again, these slow revelations. God can't reveal himself all at once. That's weird, right? We don't like it when people do that. And again, God's so far above us anyway that in order for us to grasp him, it had to be gradually step by step, you know, foreshadowing and then revealing, fulfilling the promise and the payoff. So that's what I would say about that. Trinity is everywhere in the scriptures. It's very explicit in the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of Matthew, baptized Father, Son, Holy Spirit, very explicit in Paul. So a lot of the formulations, a lot of, you know, how we profess that faith has been developed because the church has encountered many heresies, and those heresies have made the church strong through that fire, those doctrines become firm and we love them. But again, that kernel of truth is there even in the scriptures. Yes, Nancy. Sure.
To have the Spirit of the Lord.
Oh, are they the Spirit of the Lord at Passover. Oh, well, angel of death. We don't exactly know. Yeah. Right. Well, it's interesting, right? Because Jesus actually gives us Pentecost at Easter Sunday when he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And yet there's also 50 days later when the Holy Spirit is sent on them definitively again. We'll talk about one of the principles of interpreting scripture being they're meant to teach us how we live as well. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just come to us once, you know, and then that's it. But constantly God is sending his Spirit over creation, renewing them. So also the Spirit is sent multiple times, I guess. That's what I would say to that. We need the Spirit multiple times, so Jesus sends the Spirit multiple times. Ah. I don't know when we actually read Ruth in the Catholic liturgy. Probably sometime in Advent, I imagine, before the coming of Jesus, because it's kind of like the Son of David. But my point there was just, you know, the Jewish brothers and sisters, they read Ruth during Pentecost because that was the church's, that was Israel's feast for the law going out to all the nations. And then in the early church, they took the Feast of Pentecost. It was on the Feast of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came. And we just kept celebrating that feast. It's 50 days after Easter. And again, we're Jewish Christians. We kept the promises of Israel when we became Christians. You know, Jesus didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled it. So we still celebrate Pentecost. I don't think we read Ruth. If I ever become Pope, I will soon resign immediately. But maybe I'll put Ruth into the Pentecost liturgy first. Yeah, so, well, it's only a sin if you use it in vain, right? So if something bad happens to you and you cry out to God saying, oh, my Lord, oh, my God, you're not using it in vain. You are using it as it's meant to be used. Call out to him. It's just like using any of our names in vain, you know? Imagine getting texts from our friends all day with just our name. Hey, 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 hey. Unless you actually have something to say, you know, maybe cool it on the texts. So I don't know if that makes sense to answer your question. No, better not. Well, some of these rascal kids do it now with like weird Snapchats and yeah, Be Reels and stuff. They just annoy each other all day with stupid pictures going up their noses and stuff. So that is using your face and your name in vain. That's, yeah. Okay. That probably doesn't answer it, but go on to the next one.
This person said, I feel dumb, but Jesus is why are we Catholics?
Yes. So Jesus, yes, was one of the Jewish people. Jewish refers to Judah, the tribe of Judah, only one of the 12 tribes, because all the other tribes in our history, they are lost. They are scattered throughout the world beyond recognition, and they interbreed with everyone else everywhere. And yet, that's almost kind of one of God's rationale for why all the Gentiles should be able to come into his family, because he has scattered everyone throughout the world, and everyone probably picked up, you know, some of Israel's blood, right? We're all maybe a little bit, if only we all were. But again, that's the idea, is the tribes, the other 10 tribes were scattered throughout. After the exile, it kind of more became Jewish, just those of Judah who remained. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, house of David. And so really in the early church, there almost wasn't this split. You know, St. Paul and the apostles were going out and, you know, they went first to the Jewish people to say the Messiah has come. We are Messianic Jews now. But then, of course, some things had to change because we are not a people waiting for the covenant. The covenant, new covenant is here. So St. Paul especially teaches us how to live in that new covenant as Jewish Christians and not just those of the Old Covenant. So we still hold those of the Old Covenant as brothers. We pray for them, especially on Good Friday. There's a special intercession for the Jewish people. You know, we still hold that God respects the promises he made to them. And in their worship of the one true God, they're still sort of waiting for Jesus. Even though Jesus has come objectively to the world, he hasn't yet come maybe subjectively to them. And so they're still waiting for Jesus and hope that in following their religion, they will come to him. So we are separate, but we very much hold to the traditions of those who came before us. And again, Jesus did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Okay, is that about it? Yeah. Sounds good. I'm sure there's more, but let's try to run through all the other things I plan to say and see where that leaves us.